From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. President-elect Barack Obama's Treasury nominee probably won't be confirmed by Inauguration Day. Timothy Geithner is in hot water over his tax returns. And the president-elect says he could flex his presidential veto muscles if Congress turns down his request for the remaining bailout funds. Here to help break down the day's political news, we've got Robert George, associate editorial page editor for the New York Post, and Jay Boone, a former political consultant for the Kerry Edwards campaign in Minnesota and the managing director of Gateway Strategies. Hi, gentlemen.
Hey, pleasure. Hello.
There. How's it going, Farai?
So, all right, let's start out with Timothy Geithner, Obama's pick to head the Treasury Department. He said that he failed to pay nearly $34,000 in taxes between 2001 and 2004. And it was also revealed that he employed a housekeeper whose immigrant work status has expired. So in this case, he may not be confirmed before the president is, sworn into office. Is this a big bump in the road for the president? What do you think, Robert?
I think in the case of Geithner, it's a kind of a small bump because even the Republican senators on the Finance Committee, they were still speaking fairly praiseworthy of him when this information came to light. However, it is kind of an embarrassment. I mean, not paying close to $40,000 in taxes, particularly when you're being hired to run the Treasury Department, which has oversight on collecting taxes and spending and revenue and so forth. But I think the bigger picture you got here is if you look at Geithner, not just by himself, but also in the context of Bill Richardson stepping down or withdrawing as Commerce Secretary, a lot of questions being raised about Mary Shapiro, who is the Securities and Exchange Commission pick. And you have to start asking this question, who's vetting these people? I mean, these are the kind of things that are supposed to be caught in the vetting process and dealt with.
That is definitely something some people are beginning to ask questions about. Do you think it's a fair one, Jay?
Look, it's certainly a bump in the road for the incoming administration. However, I think both Republicans as well as Democrats can certainly see that this guy's fully qualified. The error that he made was unbeknown to him. It came out during the vetting process. He immediately reached out to the Senate Finance Committee, as well as paid the back taxes. He was in a unique situation, or position, rather. He was an employee of the IMF. At the IMF, they are required to submit W-2 returns, as well as to file as self-employed. So it's an interesting situation there, and it's a very easy, if you will, to get thrown off when you're filing your taxes. And Mr. Geithner also had an accountant look at his taxes and prepare them for him, and they made the error as well. So
when you mentioned the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and there are some specific rules that apply to employees there that not all of us would face the same situation. In fact, very few people would.
Absolutely.
Just like there are very few of us who, when you realize the mistake has been made, can write a check for $40,000 and pay it off that quickly.
Absolutely.
That's
a good thing these days. Overall, let's turn to another aspect of these confirmations and these nominees. Secretary of State nominee Hillary Clinton, she just sailed through her confirmation hearing yesterday. The closest that she got to a bit of a spat was when two Republican members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee asked her to make sure her husband's fundraising doesn't create a conflict of interest. And she pushed back and she said, she basically refused a suggestion to refuse all gifts while she is Secretary of State. That didn't seem to be a deal breaker, but it was one of these things where she just drew a line and said, hey, I'm not meeting an extra test of scrutiny. Was it important that she drew that line, Robert?
Well, in a sense, it is true that there's an extra level of scrutiny here. But let's keep in mind, you know, she's not your average Secretary of State nominee. She's a senator, obviously. She is a former First Lady, and her husband is the one that is creating these conflicts because he has a foundation that it receives a lot of money from foreign entities. So I think the extra scrutiny, the question about the extra scrutiny is certainly a fair one, and it should be kept in mind that one of the senators who urged former President Clinton not to take any more foreign donations, Richard Lugar said that, who's the ranking Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee, and John Kerry, who is the chairman, said, you know, Senator Lugar wasn't just speaking for himself, he was speaking for the entire committee in raising this question. So I think it's certainly fair.
When you take a look at the big picture, Jay, and having done the work that you have as a political consultant, how do you think the team that's been put together is going to change when the president is inaugurated? How do the dynamics of a transition team change once people actually have their positions?
Sure. Well, in terms of the prospective cabinet picks, the only thing we can go off of right now is their testimony and what they have stated that they intend to do. I think one thing that we can certainly look at from from the president-elect, his selections thus far, is that all these folks intend to take a very pragmatic approach. I mean, you look at Hillary Clinton, and she praises the value of diplomacy just as much as she states the significance of defense. You look at Mr. Geithner, and he understands that there's a connection between Wall Street and the free market, as well as the influence and the significance of government involvement and regulation. So I think with all these elections, what you will see is somewhat of a very centrist approach and a centrist approach as well as a desire to look at both sides and draw some conclusions from that.
Yeah, and in fact, the president-elect was even dining on a Tuesday evening.
Absolutely.
with a number of the leading lights of the conservative movement.
So I was about to ask you about that.
I mean, all I want to know is where was my invitation?
Your invite?
I just I'm feeling George Will and Bill Kristol are dissing me. I'm taking it personally.
You know, it did strike me though that you know. Were there any non-white men in the group at all?
You mean aside from Barack Obama?
I mean, who are part of this little coffee clutch of conservative?
It's kind of hard to find.
From what I understand,
there are conservative white women and black men.
Columns? No, Armstrong Williams wasn't there. No, Jason Riley. Yeah, you've got a good point. You've got a good point there. I don't know. It's possible that I don't know. It was all kept. It was a very small part of the vast right wing conspiracy. Let's put it that way.
It was a small white part of the vast white ring conspiracy.
Is that what you're saying?
That was a joke, folks. But
sorry,
hey, but
trouble.
It's time. You know, hey. It's time for black people are in. You know, it's time for you to claim your seat as part of the vast right wing conspiracy.
The black elite have risen. It's true.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Go get yours. but speaking of getting yours, the question is, what do any of us have waiting in store for us financially with this whole bailout? We had DeRoy Murdoch on, a black conservative
who also was not at the dinner. By the way, DeRoy's a friend of mine.
Yes, exactly. He was not at the dinner, but he was on our air yesterday. And gave a pretty scathing critique of how he felt the Bush administration had rolled over. And he even made a remark, and he said, I want to call him Comrade Bush. Those are some very strong words. Do you think that President Bush has betrayed Republican fiscal ideals by going along with this bailout, which some people say is not being held to high standards of accountability for where the money's going. I'll start with you first, Robert.
Well, there are two questions there. He admitted in his farewell press conference on Monday. He said that the bailout was I don't think he said betrayal, but he said it was he had to ignore his conservative ideals for that because he was told that there was a real crisis and this kind of money was absolutely needed. However, that said. The fact is, like unfortunately a number of other large projects that the Bush administration has launched, the oversight has been nil. Henry Paulson was basically given this blank check and kind of weaved back and forth as to exactly how the $350 billion, the first half of the installment, was going to be spent. And at still this point, the banks have said, well, yeah, we've got the money, but we're not exactly saying how we're spending it. And I think it's Obama says he needs the other half of it. I think I'm with the Congress on this one. If I had my druthers, I'd say, forget about the other $350 billion. I think it would be better to put it back in the Treasury and use it as a down payment on this gazillion-dollar stimulus package that we need to put together. I think that would actually get to real people faster than all of this fiscal chicanery going on in the background.
All right, Jay. Very quickly, what do you want to see? Just one thing that you want to see out of the next moves with this whole TARP and bailout?
Sure. Well, two things, actually, not just one. First off, I certainly think that tax cuts are needed within reason. But ultimately, I think what we have to do is we have to use this bailout to spur new jobs, to create new jobs. I think that's key. And so there has to be a balance. I understand that those on the right would like to see a significant amount of tax cuts. However, obviously, those on the left do not want to see the same trickle-down variety of the past that often doesn't work.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Farai.
We were speaking with Robert George, the associate editorial page editor for The New York Post, and Jay Boone, a former political consultant for the Kerry Edwards campaign in Minnesota and now managing director of Gateway Strategies. They joined us from NPR Studios in New York.